diligent enough to attach an outline to the handout. But today I was a good boy. And you have on the top page an outline of what we're going to go through tonight. Essentially, the rest of the handout is just source material, which I'm not going to go through. However, you can follow along with it inside or review it later on. It's all taken from the Nishmas Avraham, which is Dr. Avraham S. Avraham's sefer on medicine. Before we begin defining the categories which we want to define tonight, we have to review what the prohibition or the possible types of prohibitions which are involved in abortion are. Okay, and those are four types. Now, these are four types with two variables per type, which we'll describe presently. The four types of possible categories are A, that abortion is an affiliate of murder. Now, affiliate is the best translation I can think of for the word srach. And in Hebrew, we will call that srach shvichus damim. Samach reish ches. It's on top here. Chof sofis. Yeah, the srach shvichus damim means it's akin or affiliated to murder. It's not absolute murder, because otherwise you'd be put to death for doing it. And we know that abortion is not a capital crime in Judaism, but it's affiliated, it's similar to murder. That's possibility number one. Possibility number two is that it's an unjustified wound. We have halacha in Torah, you're not allowed to wound yourself or anybody else if there's no positive benefit or outcome. And any time you do wound yourself or another person in that regard, you're over the iser of chabola, transgressing this or wounding somebody where it's not justified, and that would apply as well to aborting a fetus. Either you're wounding the mother, you're wounding the fetus itself, whatever the case may be, it is an iser of chavola. That's the second possibility. The third possibility is that it's a simple iser of hashchosa zera. Hashchosa zera means there is halacha that one is not allowed to waste the male seed. Since one is not allowed to waste the male seed, therefore, when you do so, such as by aborting a fetus, you are transgressing an iser, you're committing an avera. The final possibility is that the prohibition involved is an iser of theft. Just like I'm not allowed to steal your money, I'm not allowed to steal your life, nor your potential life. And therefore, when I steal from the fetus its possibility of life, that is a form of theft. Okay, again, four possibilities. An affiliate of murder, an unjustified wound, a waste of seed, and again, an affiliate of theft. Now, on all these possibilities, all four, each one, we can question whether the iser involved, in other words, the application of this transgression to our topic of abortion, is on a d'oraisa level. In other words, it's something which the Chumash forbids, or it's on a d'rabbana level. In other words, it's something which the rabbis in the Gemara came, or the Mishnah came along and said it's forbidden. On all of these levels, even if we say that it's an affiliate of murder, there are certain things which might be murder, mid'oraisa, the Torah forbids, and certain things which Rabbanan said, that's also murder. And Rabbanan said not to do it. And of course, with wounds also. One could say it's an unjustified wound, mina Torah. One could say it's only an unjustified wound, mid Rabbanan. And so on down the line. That's one variable which applies to each of the four categories. And the second variable which applies to each of the four categories is whether a grumma is less awesome. Now, by grumma, you know, we have in the Hilchos Shabbos specifically, outstanding example is Hilchos Shabbos. All forbidden categories of melacha on Shabbos, any labor which is forbidden midaraisa on a Torah level, only if done directly, with your hands or with your feet, whatever part of your body. If you cause a melacha to be done on Shabbos, but you don't do it directly, that's only an iser d'rabbanan. It's only something which is forbidden by the Gemara, by Chazal, not forbidden by the Torah. For instance, what would be a good example of grumma? Nobody has an example of grumma? Right, a gramophone is a good example. What happens is that, well, I don't know if it's a good example, it's a very complicated example, but it's a example which came right to my mind as well. It's that when you need the special phones, they have one, as a matter of fact, in the office here of the shul, because they have many doctors here. They, when you have to make a phone call on Shabbos, So the Isser is less stringent if you do it through a grumma. And a grumma means that when you press the dial in this phone, then it doesn't directly send an impulse to the wire, but somehow or another, in a way I don't fully understand, you cause something to happen which then sends an impulse in the wire. Another way, much more direct way, is that if you grind, a much more direct example is that if you grind flour with your hands on Shabbos, that's an iser of grinding, tochen, an iser min haTorah. If you cause flour to be ground by putting it in the way of a river, putting the mill in a river, and the river then causes the mill to churn and to grind flour, that's only a grumma. You're only causing the flour to be ground. That's only an iser d'rabbanan. Okay? Now, again, in all these cases, we can say, is it made better if you do it through a grumma? And a good grumma, in the case of abortion, is a pill. If you directly cut up the fetus, that's direct murder, or whatever, whichever of the four categories. If, however, you take a pill, and the pill causes the fetus to come out, that's not direct, that's indirect. So it's indirect, maybe the iser is mitigated. Now, this is, in fact, a big topic of conversation and arguments. Some sources hold, yes, a grumma diminishes the iser involved. In other words, even if you hold the daraisa, it's also min haTorah to do an abortion directly. When you do it indirectly through a pill or some other means, it's only going to be drabbanan. Other poskim hold, no, grumma is only halacha which is stated in Hilchos Shabbos. It doesn't go across the board. To cause somebody to be murdered or to cause something to be stolen from somebody or such like is just as usher as to steal directly. And therefore they hold it doesn't apply to abortion. It doesn't make it more permissible. Okay? So that's the second variable. Again, the first variable was whether I say these are d'rabbanan and d'oraisas. The second variable is if I say they're d'oraisas, does an indirect method make it only a d'rabbanan? Okay? Now, based on these, understanding these categories, we can go on and discuss various different scenarios and decide in each case who would hold what based on which iser you hold applies. Okay? So let's go down to our first category. Is that clear to everybody so far? The four different types of prohibitions? The first category we deal with is the most straightforward. The mother is in a grave situation, mortal danger as a result of her being pregnant. At this moment, her life is in danger. What's halacha in this case? It seems that the halacha is quite clear. We have a pasuk in Torah which tells us that habab machteres, if you find a burglar digging into your house, it doesn't matter if he's actually digging a tunnel or coming through the window, you're allowed to kill him. Why allowed to kill him? Because he's coming to kill you. Somebody kills you, hashkim lahargo, kill him first. The same thing applies to the fetus. The fetus here is in the process of killing the mother. Therefore, kill the fetus. And that seems to be the explicit halacha. There is, however, one source which holds that this is not true. Rabbi Yitzhak Lampornati, an Italian posek of, I think, the 18th century, if I'm not mistaken, holds that this is only applicable where the fetus is the direct cause of the mortal illness. But let's say it's a case where the mother is suffering from some other disease, such as a heart condition. And the fetus is not directly causing the heart condition, it's just exacerbating the heart condition. He wants to say in that case, Rabbi Yitzhak Lampornati, that in such a situation, one would not be allowed to abort the fetus. That's what he claims. However, Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, one of our greatest poskim of our day and age, says he doesn't understand what Rabbi Yitzhak Lampornati is talking about. Because, lemaisa, taken right now, in the here and now, is the fetus causing the danger to the life? Who cares if the antecedents are such that there was some other condition which is now being exacerbated by the child? So what? Lemaisa, right now the child is causing the danger. Since the fetus is causing the danger right now, you can't abort. That's what Shlomo Zalman says. However, Reb Shmuel Vosner, one of the chief rabbonim of Bnei Brak, says that you have to be very careful. Because the question is, how many doctors do you have to consult, and who's believed? This is an old shaila. Unfortunately, most of our doctors are not Shomer Shabbos. And since they're not Shomer Shabbos, their credibility is always a question. Do we believe them when it comes to matters of halacha? And especially in a case of abortion, which is a very stringent question. At what point do we believe the doctors? Now, if you have a Shomer Shabbos doctor, then you might say, well, it's cut and dry. A Shomer Shabbos doctor tells you to abort, go ahead and do so. But even among Shomer Shabbos doctors, we know you'll find differences of opinion. You get a second opinion, you'll find the second opinion doesn't concur with the first one. So what happens in that situation? So Reb Shmuel Vosner says that you need every single doctor you consult to say that an abortion is medically indicated before it's permissible. What? He says you have to consult the best doctors, as many as you can, and if even one of them says that it's possible that the child can survive, that the mother can survive, then he shouldn't abort. Now he says, clearly I'm talking about a situation where she's not going to die on the operating table here, right? It's a question of whether somewhere down the line there might be mortal danger, there might not be mortal danger. So he says, if everybody agrees that it's taka going to be a mortal danger in a couple of days, in a week, in 2 weeks, so you can abort now. If not, if there's somebody who says there's a possibility that she doesn't need it, then you shouldn't go ahead and do it. Why does the suffix nefashos apply? Because it's the suffix nefashos of the uber as well. In other words, the child's life is also a possible life. We don't assume that the uber is a nefesh, but we regard it, if we take into account the possibility that he will become a nefesh, so then it becomes also suffix nefashos. In other words, you're right. Right now, it's not a nefesh. And right now, it's not so stringent to kill him. But nonetheless, since it's possible he'll develop into a life, it's a very stringent question. How are you going to decide to prevent this potential life from taking hold? So that's why the principle of suffix nefashos wouldn't apply here as clearly as it would apply in any other situation of illness.
In any case, would you also hold that?
It's a good question. Hold off. Right. We'll get to it, okay? I'll come to that in a few minutes, okay? I know I cut you off in the middle, but we'll come to that question. Okay. So, now, this leads us, of course, into the next case, which is basically an extension of Rabbi Yitzhak Lampernati's case. Danger is the result of an additional complication on a pre-existing condition. In other words, let's say the woman, the classic case I believe that they speak about, is where the woman is diabetic or she has high blood pressure or something like that, and it's a condition which might not normally be dangerous, but in this woman's case, or normally it's iffy, in this woman's case, since she became pregnant, it becomes much more exacerbated, and in this case, she really is in a case of sakonas nefashos, of imminent and grave danger. So, of course, most of the poskim hold that it's one can be lenient, especially prior to the first 3 months. Now, it's interesting, the first trimester is not brought down anywhere in Shas and Poskim. But I believe here that the later, modern-day Poskim have taken into account the fact that the medicine distinguishes between the first trimester and the other trimesters. And here we find that most of the Poskim are lenient in the first trimester to allow an abortion, even if the woman is not right now in imminent danger, as long as, like we said in the name of Rabbi Vosner, all of them agree that the continuing pregnancy is going to be very, very difficult and life-threatening for her. The one exception, the person who's very machmir, is Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe Feinstein holds literally the woman has to be on her deathbed, so to speak, before you allow an abortion. You can't take into account that maybe a week down the line, even if all the doctors agree, you can't take into account that maybe a week down the line she's going to be in danger. Maybe 2 days, she's got to be right now in a situation of grave and imminent danger. And that really follows Rav Moshe's opinion. Because Rav Moshe holds that abortion is an affiliate of murder. And he holds it's an affiliate of murder on a Torah level. Well, it's not the Rabbanan, it's clearly the Raisa. So of course, Rav Moshe, since that is his opinion, is going to be super machmir, it's going to be super stringent in this case, and say that abortion is not permissible unless you have absolute Rodef on the spot. Literally, the fetus is right now, at this very moment, pursuing the mother to kill her because now she's on a deathbed as a result of the fetus. But Reb Shloimeh Zalman asked Rabbi Noble's kasha. The Torah tells us that if somebody's coming to burglarize your house, you're allowed to kill him on the spot. Says Reb Shloimeh Zalman, you don't know for sure that he was going to kill you. In that halacha of a burglar, the halacha of a burglar is you shoot first and ask questions later. You don't have to come to him with a survey and ask him, listen, are you going to kill me? You're not going to kill me. So you have a gun. Are you armed? Aren't you armed? Refrektish, cautious. You take a gun and you shoot. So if in the case of Baba Machteres, somebody, a burglar who comes to your house, you don't have to, even in a case where you're not sure if he's going to kill you, you're allowed to go ahead and take the first move. What's the difference over here? Here too. Okay, it's a suffix. We're not 100% sure that he's going to be a Rodef. But there are good odds. It's no worse than the burglar coming into your house in the dark of night. So therefore, Reb Shlomo Zalman says, it seems that it would be permissible. And in fact, not Reb Shlomo Zalman himself, but other poskim were brought down here, including Reb Yaakov Weiss, who was the Av Basin of the Eda Charedis, the Badatz in Yerushalayim, say that a woman who had diabetes and high blood pressure and all the problems which would accompany that and was would be in danger as a result of the pregnancy can abort even before she's actually holding close to death as a result of all her medical problems. Okay? So, does that answer your question from before? Now, however, the question is that let's say there's a danger which will develop in the future. Now, what we mean by a danger which will develop in the future is that there is no pre-existing medical condition which warrants in and of itself the abortion. But there is a likelihood, knowing the problems which this woman has, that something will occur down the line as a result of the pregnancy, as a result of the type of fetus. I'm not sure exactly what the current problem would be, but something will develop down the line. So in that case also, most of the poskim say that you're allowed to do the abortion right away. You don't have to wait till the actual danger transpires. However, even those who are machmir, and it's brought down that there are people who say there's got to actually be a danger right now, in other words, there's got to be a medical condition which actually exists, are makil with when the fetus is less than 40 days old. And I want to jog your memory here that we have a Gemara in Yevamos which tells us that fetuses which are less than 40 days old are considered to be like water. They don't yet, they're not considered to be yet any form of life whatsoever. And this is going to be very crucial for us several times this evening. Therefore, there is much more tendency to be lenient within the first 40 days, even on the part of the poskim who are normally more stringent. And in this case also, the poskim who are normally more stringent say that one can be lenient in the case of a fetus who's less than 40 days old. And in this case also, they say that if the child is less than 40 days old, one can be more lenient in that one doesn't need to seek out the advice of every single medical expert in the book. Like Rav Vosner said previously, in a case that the child is more than 40 days old, he wants you to seek out everybody's opinion and follow the opinion only if it was expressed by every single person. But if the fetus is less than 40 days old, one can rely perhaps on one's own doctor, a doctor or two, and one doesn't have to get clear-cut, beyond the shadow of a doubt, expert advice from them. I don't know if before 40 days, in cases like this, you can give such advice. In that case, you would be allowed to abort in the first 40 days. Okay? Now, till now we've been talking about where the danger which will be involved is the danger of loss of life. What happens if the danger involved is a danger of loss of limb? Now, I'm not sure exactly how this works medically, how a fetus can cause a woman to lose a limb. But there is a case brought down about a woman who had some sort of medical condition And the doctor said that if she'd carry the pregnancy to term, she was in danger of losing her hearing. She would go deaf. It's one of the cases brought down. So...
You might have a similar case of diabetes.
Diabetes?
They could lose a limb.
Cause a stroke.
Cause a stroke. Okay. So in those cases, obviously, it's going to depend, or not so obviously, but it seems that it will depend how you view the prohibition. If you view the prohibition as an affiliate of murder, you're not allowed to murder somebody else in order to save your own limb. That's not permissible. To save your own life, where that person is, a road ape, he's pursuing you to kill you, you're allowed to kill that person in order to save your own life. But where you're not out to save your own life, but you're out to save your limbs, you might be able to disable another person, wound him severely, but you're not allowed to kill him. So therefore, according to the poskim who say that it's going to be that the issur of abortion is an affiliate of murder, in all likelihood, you would not be allowed to abort in order to save a limb or in order to save your hearing or something of that sort. But if it's any of the other categories, then it would be permissible. Okay, if it fits in the category of an unjustified wound, here it's a justified wound, right? You're wounding the fetus for a benefit. When is a wound forbidden? When is chavola a prohibition? When the chavola is without benefit, without advantage. But here you have a definite advantage. If you abort the fetus, the woman will have her limb saved. So therefore it'd be permissible. If it's a waste of seed, well, seed is only considered wasted where the problem involved is such that it's going for naught. But obviously here the seed is not being wasted for naught. It's being, destroyed for a very good reason in order to save the woman's limb. That would be permissible as well. And if it's an affiliate of theft, this is not 100% certain, but in all probability you're allowed to steal money if you're going to save a limb as a result. Okay? I'm not 100% certain about that. Not sure. But you know, it's probable that it would be permissible to do so. And therefore, there are poskim who say that even those who hold that abortion is also midol raisa, it's forbidden on the Torah level, as long as it doesn't fit into category A of an affiliate of murder, it would be permissible to do it in order to avoid loss of limb, loss of hearing, etc.
Mental illness be the same thing as loss of limb?
Mental illness we'll get to. Okay? A couple more minutes. Does A... You're asking whether those who hold that it's a srach shvichas domim must hold that an uber is a nefesh. No, they don't have to hold that way. Because I'll tell you, because we find that there are many things which are considered avizrayu de gili arayos, avizrayu de avodazora, which are not directly avodazora or gili arayos. For instance, we mentioned last Wednesday night, one is not allowed to convert to Islam, even though Islam is not avodazora. Why? Because it's considered to be forsaking your name of being a Jew, right? So it's possible to say that an ubar is not a nefesh, but nonetheless, killing it is an avizraya de shvichus damim, because the process involved is akin to murder. You're killing a viable human entity. That's the way I would put it. It's more than an aver, but less than a nefesh. Right. One could learn that way. Yeah. Yeah, I think paralysis would be the same thing as losing a limb. No. That's okay. No, but paralysis doesn't mean that it's a loss of life. It's a very grave situation to be paralyzed. It's not very pleasant, but it's not tantamount to loss of life. There is a Gemara like that by deafness. Gemara says if you cause a person to become deaf, then you have to pay him for his full value. Because a deaf person is considered as if he's dead. Not dead literally, but as if he's lost all pleasure in life, I guess, or all viability in life. But, you know, we find that also an ani is chashuv kemes. You know, if a person is becomes completely impoverished, he's also considered dead. He's obviously not dead. It's just a status which is akin to death. So that we wouldn't equate that in all the time in halacha with death. Yeah.
One is permitted to be mechallel Shabbat to save someone's limb.
You know, I wanted to just bring that down as an example. You have to be halacha Shabbos. You have to realize the only reason why we are permitted to be mechallel Shabbos by the Raisas with the loss of a limb is because we're afraid that if you're not mechallel Shabbos for a loss of limb, you lose your life as a result as well. Theoretically, were you to be sure that by losing your arm you wouldn't lose your life, you wouldn't be allowed to be mechallel Shabbos for a Sakana Sefer. And in fact, which we try to be machmir by Sakana Sefer only to do the Rabbanot, not the Raisas. Because it might taka be only... it might be less than Bikoch Nefesh. So on the contrary, that's a good example of why abortion should be forbidden for a Sakana Sefer. Just like Chilul Shabbos is forbidden for a Sakana Sefer, unless you're afraid it's going to bring about Sakonas Nefoshos. So too, perhaps abortion should be forbidden for a Sakana Sefer, unless you're sure that it's going to bring about Sakonas Nefoshos for the mother. So that's why if you held that it was an affiliate of murder, it would taka be forbidden to abort a fetus just in order that the mother should retain whatever limb she has. Okay, so I wanted to bring it down as an example of a reason to be stringent, not a reason to be lenient. Now, the next category which we should deal with is where there's going to be great suffering but no mortal danger. In other words, the pregnancy is going to be particularly difficult and agonizing. But nonetheless, she's going to be able to survive. So, in this case, we have a very big machlokas haposkim, and this is really something which we're going to have to focus on next week to a great extent when we talk about dangers to the fetus. Because dangers to the fetus primarily reflect back on the anguish which is caused to the parents. Okay, but I want to leave that alone for next week. Here, let's just talk about the mother during the time pregnancy will be going into undergoing intense anguish. Here, it really depends very much on what you hold the quality of the Isser is. If you hold that the quality of the Isser is like Reb Moshe Feinstein, an Isser on a Torah level, and it's an Isser which is based on murder, so suffer. Tough luck. Life is not pleasant. You can't murder somebody in order to make your life more pleasant. If you hold, however, that it's one of the three other categories, then things begin to get somewhat iffy. Especially if you hold it's only the Rabbanon. Because if you hold it's only the Rabbanon, so there are many certain Rabbanon we know for a chole, somebody who's suffering, we are willing to forego many certain Rabbanon. By Shabbos we know all the time that by chole, sheyeshbo, even without sakon, even when there's no danger, right, you're allowed to take medicine and do all sorts of other things. Amir la'akum, tell goyim to do things which normally not allowed to do on the Rabbanon level. So in this case, there are some poskim who are lenient. They say in cases of great anguish, great pain, one is allowed to abort because it's only nisa d'rabbanon, or even if it's only nisa, even if it's an isra midoraisa, perhaps if it's an isra of chavala, this is a justified wound, right? You're justified in aborting the fetus because it's going to cause the woman to feel better, just like you're allowed to operate in order to feel better. You're allowed to have elective surgery in order to remove a gallstone or a kidney stone or something like that, despite the fact that there's no imminent danger. So too, perhaps you're allowed to do an abortion in order to make yourself feel better. You're allowed to waste seed because it's not wasting seed, it's destroying seed for a beneficial purpose. Perhaps even the issue of theft doesn't exist here, because here, in a case where you are going to do it, you know, somebody... the person from whom you're stealing is causing you great anguish. Perhaps it's permissible to do so. But, nonetheless, many poskim say, Lemaisa, if all you're doing is suffering, so despite the fact that some poskim say it's only lighter isser and only the Rabbanon, since some poskim on the other end say it's a more stringent isser and an isser midoraisa, so therefore it's not permissible to go ahead and do so. By the way, again, I want to go off on a tangent for a moment. An affiliate of theft might seem lenient, but on the other hand, it might make it more stringent. Because there's a fascinating Rashi who says that if somebody is running after you to kill you. And the only way you can save yourself is by grabbing somebody else's vessel and throwing it at him. And it'll break, you're not allowed to do so. Usur lahatzil atzmo b'momon acherim. You're not allowed to save your own life with somebody else's money. So, we don't paskin like Rashi. We paskin that you're allowed to take it, and as long as you pay back the person later on. But in this case, there's no way of ever paying back. Once you steal an Uber's life, once you steal a fetus's life, who are you going to make restitution to? So on the other, on one hand, gezeila might be less stringent than murder, but on the other hand, it won't make necessarily permissible.
The moment why, yeah. An Uber is a yerachimbo in this sense.
Yeah, there are two ways of looking at an Uber. You can look at a fetus as being property of the mother, but you can look at it as being property of itself as well. And you're right. In turn,
if somebody were to destroy the Uber, you would have to pay the parents.
You'd have to pay the parents, right. But on the other hand, you could say, Shlomo Zalman wants to say, it's also stealing from the Uber itself. In other words, the fact that the Uber had a potential to live means that you're stealing from it if you're taking away its life. Okay? So if you look at it that way, then it becomes more stringent. Okay? Now, let's go further down the line. Mental and emotional illness. In other words, if the mother continues to be pregnant, then she's going to undergo grave emotional anguish, some sort of psychological problem, or some sort of emotional problem. Is it permissible to abort under such circumstances? There is a distinguished posek, the Levushei Mordechai, who says that it's permissible to abort under such circumstances. If there would be a grave mental illness, it's tantamount to a grave physical illness, and therefore would be permissible. However, Dr. Abraham went to speak to an expert, somebody who he stresses was not an Orthodox Jew, who told him that he would never advise abortion under such circumstances. Because nowadays, under almost all circumstances, the whatever manic depressive syndromes which would occur can be treated by pills of some sort, by medicine, by therapy, and therefore it's not, in our day and age, under most circumstances, a case which warrants actual abortion. So he says that under most circumstances, again, it would be subjective, depending on whether there was therapy available in such case or not. But under most cases, he would say it's not permissible to abort in our present day and age when so many avenues of treatment are available. The next case we have to deal with is a woman who became pregnant knowing that she was placing herself in danger. In other words, she knew before she got, all the doctors told if you get pregnant, it'll be very dangerous for you, you might lose your life. And now she got pregnant. Are we allowed to go and abort the fetus? Now, the only reason why this is a question is because we have a Chochma Shlomo, Reb Shlomo Kluger, in Or HaChaim, who says a very interesting thing. He says, if you have somebody who's going to commit suicide on Shabbos, you're not allowed to save him. Why not? So he holds Bikuach Nefesh, that which you're allowed to push off Shabbos in order to save somebody's life, only applies in a case where the person didn't put himself in that mortal danger. But if the person themselves put themselves in that mortal danger, tough luck. In other words, if he went and said, okay, I'm going to jump off the Brooklyn Bridge, so then you can't go and save him on Shabbos.
And how does he deal with the problem of standing idly by...
Lo tam al adam reyecho? That he says that would apply to weekdays, but not on Shabbos. Lo tam al adam reyecho zalav, who is not allowed to stand idly by while somebody's life is in danger. But on the other hand, Shabbos is a much more stringent iser, and that counteracts lo tam al adam reyecho. Right? They clash here. Shabbos says, don't save his life. Lo tam al adam reyecho says, do save his life. So one is a lav, plain lav, plain negative commandment, and the other is a negative commandment which entails capital crime, right? The desecrating Shabbos is a capital offense in Judaism. So therefore, he says that saving a person's life, in this case, is pushed off by this sort of Shabbos. But we don't paskin like the Chochma Shlomo.
Would it be Mahal Shabbos so that the person will be...
We say, great, Chalel love Shabbos Achas, Shishmo Shabbos Asarbe. that's great. One Shabbos to save his life, so he'll be able to keep a lot of Shabbos down the line. That's what's that. But the Rav Shlomo Kluger says that's only in a case where he did it inadvertently. But he was a poshea. He put himself in that situation. So then that's his tough luck. So, like I said, we don't hold of this. We don't paskin like this, Rav Shlomo Kluger. We paskin that in a case, even where a person puts himself into danger, is about to commit suicide, we desecrate Shabbos in order to save that person. So therefore, the same thing would apply in our case here. Even though we might say that she shouldn't...
any case of pregnancy, you couldn't have abortion at any time.
According to... What do you mean, like any case of pregnancy?
Yes.
No, any case of pregnancy, we say it's not considered to be dangerous, not considered to be sakonis nefashos. The pregnancy is not. The birth is, but all right, we'll get to that in a moment. But here, the actual pregnancy was a case of sakonis nefashos, and which she was forewarned not to do it. That's why she's forbidden to do it. Okay? So since she went there and got pregnant, therefore we won't abort. I'm not expressing myself well enough. Let me come back to that in a couple of minutes, okay? Right after we discuss the next category. What about a woman who wants to remain pregnant despite imminent danger? In other words, a woman was told that, a woman became pregnant, and she was told that now that you became pregnant, your life is in danger for XYZ reason. So she's being told by the doctors to abort, but she doesn't want to. Is she allowed to continue the pregnancy, or does she have to... She required by halacha to abort in that case. So the poskim say, the Tzitz Eliezer says, among others, that she's allowed to remain pregnant. She doesn't have to abort in that case. And Yom Kippur? No, I don't think it's similar to Yom Kippur. But I'll tell you why. In a case, we have a case of... We have a case, a person has to make a parnosa. Let's say a person, in order to make a parnosa, decides that the only job he can take, only job he can get, is to wash windows on skyscrapers. Is he allowed to take the job? Or do I say no? Just like Pikuach Nefesh pushes off any Isser in Torah, and one, on the other hand, one is not allowed to put himself in this situation where one's going to be in Sakonis Nefashos. One can't put oneself in a situation where one's life is being placed into danger. So the halacha is that, yes, one is allowed to put oneself into danger in order to make a living. Somewhere, I forget, but it's the famous tshuva of the Noi de Behuda. The Noi de Behuda was asked, are Jews allowed to hunt animals? And he said, no, Jews are not allowed to hunt. Why? Because it's a life-threatening situation. So suppose the animal you're hunting turns around and starts charging at you. So he says, hi, you're allowed to make a parnosa, put yourself into a life-threatening situation more to make a living. Yeah, the Torah is special heter for people who put themselves into life-threatening situations in order to make a living, but not in order to go and involve themselves in pursuits surely for the sake of pleasure, such as hunting. For that reason, Jews probably would not be allowed to be gladiators and such like as well. But Jews are allowed to be deep sea divers and such like. I don't know, talk of parachute jumping would be a shiloh. But things where one is doing the sakonis nefoshos for a benefit, such as parnosa, are permissible. So the same thing applies in essence to pregnancy. Even though every time a woman becomes pregnant, at the end of the process, she's going to be in a case of sakonis nefashos, right? She's going to be in a case where she's putting herself into a case where we're allowed to be mechalel Shabbos for her because she's going to be in mortal danger. Nonetheless, it's permissible to do so because that's the derech ha'olam. That's the way the world works. Just like you're allowed to make a parnasa even though it entails danger, so too you're allowed to become pregnant even though it entails danger. So I assume that's the logic here as well. Even though this woman is now putting herself into danger by continuing her pregnancy to term, in essence, all a pregnancy, like you were saying before, is putting yourself in danger. And nonetheless, it's permissible because that's the way of the world. If a person wants to have children, you have to do it in that way. Just like if a person wants to make parnasa, oft times it requires putting yourself in danger. So the same thing applies, even to the extent that if a woman's pregnancy, not just the birth, puts her in danger, but even the pregnancy itself, if she herself feels that she wants to continue the pregnancy, we are not allowed to deprive her of that right. By the way, this is also a very famous tshuva, which we discussed once, but a long time ago, of Reb Chaim Eiser. Chaim Isaac Grodzinski was asked, is a person allowed to undergo experimental surgery, in order to save his life when he's not sure that the surgery will save him? The surgery might, in fact, kill him. So Chaim Isaac says, yeah, you're allowed to take the chance. Because you're doing it in order to provide yourself with that benefit, so you're allowed to do so even though you're taking the chance. So same thing with the pregnancy. It's not exactly similar. Same thing with pregnancy, though, even though you're right now involved in danger, nonetheless you're allowed to do so because for that advantage of giving birth, the Torah allowed you, among other situations, to put yourself in the case of sakonas nefashos. But now we get to a more iffy question. The question of, let's say that the woman, by aborting the fetus, will only gain a temporary stay of execution. In other words, a woman, Rachmana Litzlan, has terminal cancer. And she's not going to live more than a few months anyway. If you abort the fetus, she'll live a few more months. In that case, are you allowed to abort the fetus in order to give her a couple of more months, or whatever time it is? So this is a machlokas haposkim, very big machlokas. The Yesodi Shurin on the one hand, Reb Gedalia Felder said that one is allowed to abort in such a case, because just like Shabbos, one is allowed to desecrate Shabbos in order to provide even a few more moments of life for somebody who's ill, right? If somebody's really, literally dying, and he's in the throes of death, you're allowed to transgress Shabbos to give him a few more moments. Every moment of life is precious. You're allowed to be mechalel Shabbos in order to save that person those extra moments. So the same thing he says by abortion. Abortion also would be permitted in order to save somebody's life, even for a few moments. But other poskim, including Reb Yitzchak Zilberstein, and it seems to me, although he doesn't discuss this case explicitly, Reb Moshe Feinstein, would say it's mut usser. Why would it be usser? Because if you hold it's category A, an affiliate of murder, murder is not always permitted, even in a case of rodef. In a case of somebody who's being rodef, another person who's terminally ill is not such a good example, somebody who's a trefa, person who's rodef es ha trefa, let's say Reuven is running after Shimon in order to kill him, but Shimon has a mortal wound from which anyway he's going to die within the next 12 months. So in that case, they seem told it's not so simple that we would say that we're allowed to kill the pursuer. We're allowed to kill the pursuer where the guy who's being pursued is somebody who's going to live and prosper, at least as far as we can tell, for a long time. Where the person who's being pursued is himself in mortal danger, perhaps it's not permissible to abort, to kill the pursuer in that case, and perhaps in that case it's not permissible to abort. And therefore, Yitzchak Zilberstein is not just machmir in this case, in the case of the woman who's terminally ill, he's machmir also in the case of Sakonas Eiver. He says explicitly that where the woman just stands to lose a limb, you're not allowed to abort under such circumstances. Yes. No. Even a person considered almost dead, you're allowed to transgress Shabbos no matter what. Excuse me? Koseis. Absolutely, you can. You're required to do so. On the normal circumstances, you're required to transgress Shabbos for such a person. Certain cases, perhaps, where the person himself doesn't want treatment for some reason, he's in agony and he doesn't want to prolong the agony, maybe you don't have to treat under those circumstances. That's a question. But if he wants it, or if you don't know if he wants it or not, then you have to desecrate Shabbos for such a person. Yeah. Right. Well, let me just add, though. But in that case, that's only Chilul Shabbos. Ritzicha is different. Why? Because Ritzicha is one of the big three, the Horeg Valyavors, right? So therefore, if you hold that abortion is less severe than Ritzicha, less severe than murder, so of course you make a Kal V'chomer right? What's the next most stringent iser in Torah after it's Yichud Shabbos? If Shabbos is pushed off because of saving a life, so Kal v'chomer, so much more so than any other transgression, is pushed off because of saving a life. But if you hold that abortion is affiliated to murder, so then it's a notch above Shabbos. And just like a murder is not pushed off in order to save somebody's life, so too abortion wouldn't be pushed off in order necessarily to save somebody's life, unless it was literally a case where there was a rodef situation, a pursuing situation.
To Shabbos?
Because he holds it's not a Sarach Ratzicha. He holds it's one of the other three Yisurim. Not a Sarach Ratzicha. Right? The bear in mind, Reb Moshe Feinstein is almost the only person, he's a big man, but he's almost the only Achron who says that it's a Sarach Ratzicha. Almost everybody else learns it's one of the three other categories. Either an unjustified wound, waste of seed, or affiliate of theft. Yeah, what do you want to ask?
I forget who the Pusik was that you quoted that said that if there's only a temporary extension, then you would not be permitted to do this. But perhaps that would only hold at a time where if someone was going to die and was aware they're going to die, but now with discoveries and happening every day that what might seem certain today is a terminal case, maybe 6 months from now, won't be terminal.
That's true. In a case which is subjective, like to that extent, then you would be allowed perhaps to abort right now because maybe they'd find a cure in 6 months. But a lot of diseases in which that's not true, like let's say, Rahman al-Itzlan AIDS. So the 6 months down the line, they're probably not going to find a cure, maybe 6 years from now. So therefore, I don't know, in that case, the Shiloh would still apply. And if you think that in AIDS they'll find a cure in 6 months, so you'll find another disease like that. There are always diseases which, one could, Lou Gehrig's disease or something like that, where the Shiloh would come into play. However, Rav Eliyashiv, again, one of the great contemporary poskim, says that in this case, it would be permissible to abort, and he uses the following svara. It's interesting. This is a little bit off on a tangent, but we mentioned last time, 2 weeks ago, that Rav Moshe says there's a certain tshuva of the Marit which is forged. I don't know how many of you remember that, but there is a Rav Moshe says that. However, a lot of other posts, including Rav Eliyashiv, based their rulings on that allegedly forged Marit. So this obviously is a crucial thing. The Marit is Mekel. He's one of the more lenient opinions, right? He holds that at best, abortion is either B, an unjustified wound, or C, a waste of seed. But it's definitely not A, and definitely not D. It's not an affiliate of murder, nor an affiliate of theft. So the Rav Eliyashiv explains, the Ma'arit is saying that the mother supplies the livelihood to the fetus. Through the placenta, obviously, the nutrients and everything come to the fetus. The mother is not required to supply livelihood at her own expense. In other words, if the mother's own life will be sapped by the fetus's life, then she's allowed to abort. That's Rav Eliyashiv's logic in order to be makel, to be lenient in this case, to say that even for a temporary extension of the mother's life, you're allowed to abort. For great suffering, you wouldn't be allowed to abort. Why? Because although the mother's suffering, but she's not losing her own life force. She's still alive, kicking, and sure, her prognosis is 100% excellent. But in a case where the mother's life is being sapped, even though if you abort the fetus, all you gain is temporary life, it would be permissible to abort under such cases. Rav Shlomo Zalman is not happy with this svara of Rav Eliyashiv. Now, Rav Shlomo Zalman, you have to bear in mind, in order to understand a little bit better, the machlokas holds that abortion is also because it's an affiliate of theft. Now, he never wrote a response in which he fully developed his logic. And therefore, we don't know to what extent theft would be pushed off by pikuach nefesh of the mother, by saving the mother's life, and to what extent it's not. But since he holds that abortion falls under the category of theft, it's somewhat more stringent than unjustified wounds and waste of seed, because what we said before, you can't steal the fetus's life and give it back to him at a later date. And therefore, this gezela might not be permissible except where it's really warranted by literal pikuach nefesh on the spot for long-term gain. But where it's not for long-term gain, it's possible that it would not be permissible. And that's what Shlomo Zalman says here. Maybe the fetus has a life. True, right now he's a parasite. He's dependent on the mother. But look, the mother knew that when she brought him into the world, when she conceived the child, and therefore, since she knew that, she was willing to grant that status to the fetus. So who says now she's allowed to deprive the status of that parasitical status, which she consented, so to speak, to give to it when she conceived it? And therefore, because of that logic of theft, he was not so taken with Rabbi Yoshiv's logic. So he kind of remains up in the air. It's not exactly clear what the Psak HaLoch would be under such circumstances. Again, though, less than 40 days, everybody would be lenient. Why? Because at less than 40 days, the fetus is not considered to be an entity from which you're stealing life. It's just like water, the Gemara says. So therefore, less than 40 days, one would be more, there would be more reason to be lenient and to abort. Now, of course, for socioeconomic reasons, in other words, let's say it's unpleasant for the woman to be pregnant, either because it would look bad in her society if she has children, or they will not be able to, they perceive that they're not making enough money to support this new child. For such reasons, abortions would not be permitted under any circumstances, even less than 40 days. Because even less than 40 days, there's a possibility that it's chavolish lo letzorech, or at least a waste of seed. So therefore, it's not going to be permissible unless there are mitigating circumstances. Socioeconomic reasons are not halachically mitigating circumstances. If you have to live your life in poverty, you have to live your life in poverty and not transgress any isser, even the rabbanon of the Torah. Okay? There's an interesting Zohar also. If you turn to the last page, I just want to read the Zohar with you inside. The Zohar says, and so this is where I have a little square all the way on the right on the bottom. Not a square, but a line in the margin. The Zohar starts in the third line of that paragraph, and it's in Aramaic, so I'll try and translate as much as we can get. Man dekatil benoi, ha'hu ubra, demis abin itata, a person who kills children, in other words, a fetus that a child woman has conceived, vigarim, and causes lekatlo le b'ma'ah, to have this fetus killed in the mother's womb, the Sasir Binyana the Kuchabrihu, who destroys the building of God, Vumnusa Delay, and his craftsmanship. Isman the Kotil Barnash, there are people who kill actual people, Vaikotil Benoi, and this person kills children. Tlasa Bishin Ava, therefore he's doing three things wrong. The whole Alma Lo Yochil Mizbal and the whole world cannot tolerate this. Valda Alma Mismogiga. And this, the world collapses. Ze'er, little by little, v'lo yadion, people are not aware of it. V'kutshabricho istalik mi'alma, and God removes himself from the world. V'charba, and sword, v'kafno, and famine, umosna, and plague, atzion al-alma, come to the world. V'ilu inun kotil, v'ilain inun kotil benoi, sasir binyana the malka, because these people who kill the children, the fetuses, are destroying the building of the king, the Hi Shchinta, which is the divine presence of the world. The Azlo Mishamta Ba'alma, Mishamta Ba'alma, the divine presence, which I guess would have been brought through this fetus's life, goes forth through the world. Vlashkacha Naicha doesn't find any place to rest, because they were the divine presence, the sanctification of God's name with this Jewish soul would have caused, has now been deprived to the world. Val Ilain Rucha de Kucha Bachya. And on this, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Divine Spirit, cries, Va'alma istin b'chol haridin, and the world goes through all these judgments, Va'ilahu b'arnasha va'ilei, woe to that person who aborts, woe to him, Tavlid lo yisprei alma, it would have been better if he had not have been created in this world. So obviously, we don't paskin halacha out of Zohar. We don't paskin halacha out of Kabbalah. But when the Kabbalah says that something is bad, we accept that it's bad. And therefore, one has to be, if there aren't halachically valid reasons to abort is a particularly heinous act, according to what the Zohar tells us here. All right, I thought we might have time to go through the Tzitz Eliezer, who's right here on this page, who's the most lenient opinion about abortion, but I don't think we'll have time this week because I want to get still to abortion for goyim. Maybe next week we'll come back to it. The final issue I want to go through, though, is the question of abortion for goyim. Now, strictly speaking, for a goy to abort is a capital crime. Because we have a special pasuk by goyim which tells us that shofech dam ha'adam ba'adam damoy shofech. If somebody kills a person inside another person, that person, if he's a goy, is put to death. It's a pasuk in Parshas Noach, if I recall correctly. For this we learn that one of the subcategories of the isser of goyim to murder each other is not to abort each other. Now, so stringent is the isser of abortion by goyim in that it's a capital crime as opposed to by Jews, where it's not a capital crime, that there's a question by goyim, A, if they're allowed to abort for less than 40 days, and B, if they're allowed to abort even in a case where the mother's life is in danger. Now, the case of less than 40 days, the poskim overwhelmingly say, yes, there would not be considered a capital crime for a goy to abort in less than 40 days. Truth is, it might not be considered to be any crime at all, if you think about it, because goyim are not necessarily commanded on unjustified wounds, and goyim are not necessarily commanded on waste of seed. They are commanded not to steal. But we said that the issur of theft doesn't really apply to a fetus less than 40 days old. Because since it's like water, it doesn't have the right to life, so to speak. Since it doesn't have the right to life, you're not stealing from it the right to life. So therefore, for a goy to abort less than 40 days old might be more permissible than for a Jew. But if it's... What?
A Jewish doctor.
It wouldn't make a difference. A Jewish doctor performing a goy would make it better, not worse. Because a Jew...
It means more lenient.
More lenient, yeah.
What would the leniency be? Because there's no reason...
Because the Jewish doctor is chayev misa if he aborts where it's not warranted, whereas a Jewish doctor, even if it's not warranted, is not chayev misa, is not committing a capital crime as a result.
By the goy, it's considered
ritzicha.
You mean the maisa is considered ritzicha?
Right, the maisa. It's not the woman herself. No, the woman is a passive. Right, she wouldn't be put. Yeah, it's important to point that out. A woman who assists, who comes for an abortion, might not be transgressing the prohibition of murder if she's completely passive. Right, it's the doctor then who's transgressing, but she nonetheless is forbidden to be a passive participant in murder, even if you wouldn't call it a capital crime.
So, the Jewish doctor who performs the abortion. Would he be guided by the same halacha?
Yes.
Whether it's a goy or a Jew?
A Jewish doctor would depend. It would depend. No, he wouldn't be guided by the same halacha. In other words, by goyim, he would be more restricted than by Jews. By Jews, he'd be able to perform an abortion under more circumstances than by goyim.
I understand, but is he guided by the halacha of the goy upon the... is he guided by...
Yeah, he's guided by Shem Mitzvah B'nei Noach.
But if he performs the abortion, so in other words, what you're saying would be the same answer as a Jewish, as a Jewish doctor.
No, that's not what I meant. Oh, what I meant is that the indications of a permissibility for abortion would be guided by Shem Mitzvah B'nei Noach. But he would never be chayav misa for performing an abortion, even if it was unwarranted. It's impossible for a Jew to be chayav misa for performing an abortion.
Have the same halacha like a like a Jewish doctor performing on a Jew?
He's like a Jewish doctor performing on a Jew.
He would be guided the same halacha, even though he's performing abortion on a goyim.
Right. But he would. There are less circumstances in which abortion is mutter for goyim than for Jews. No, let me explain. The halacha of Rodef is not stated in Parshas Noach. The halacha of Rodef is in Parshas Shoftim, where it says that if somebody comes to burglarize your house, you're allowed to kill him. That's stated for Jews. Jews are allowed to kill fellow Jews who are burglars. It doesn't say anywhere in Torah that goyim are allowed to kill fellow goyim who are burglars.
But a
it's possible that there is no halacha of rodef by goyim. In other words, we don't say that if somebody's pursuing one goy, is pursuing another goy to kill him, that it's a mitzvah to kill the pursuer. Or that it's even permissible to kill the pursuer. So some poskim want to say that even where the fetus is putting the wife's, the mother's life in danger by a goy, abortion is not permitted. Nonetheless, most poskim say it is. Most poskim say that even by a goy, where the fetus is endangering the mother's life, one is allowed to kill the fetus because the halacha of rodef would apply to a goy as well. It's logical that it should be extended to a goy. But the thing is, that's only true about the halacha of rodef. All the other mitigating circumstances which we learned about, loss of limb and such like, that might not be permissible in the case of a goy. So in that case, the Jewish doctor would be prohibited from performing an abortion on a non-Jewish lady. Why? If the lady was Jewish, so for whatever mitigating circumstances, you're allowed to perhaps perform an abortion so that the mother doesn't lose a limb. But those mitigating circumstances don't exist by the non-Jewish lady. So therefore, if a non-Jewish doctor would perform the abortion, he'd even be chayiv misa. You'd have to put the doctor to death for doing that. If a Jewish doctor performed the abortion, he's transgressing an iser, but he's not put to death for it. Yeah. So a non-Jewish doctor, so we say for that reason it's always better to get a Jewish doctor performing an abortion even where it's permissible. Because of what you're asking. Yeah. So we say that a non-Jewish doctor is permitted to perform an abortion on a Jewish woman where abortion is permitted al pi halacha. But it's not so simple. You're right. It's a question which is discussed in the poskim. Lemaisa, we say it's okay for a non-Jewish doctor to perform the abortion. Okay, now based on this, though, so you're in a bind. If you're in a case in the United States of America, what heter is there for going to have a law which allows abortions? There really is none. Rav Moshe Feinstein says that there's no heter whatsoever. But I want to say very quickly, I didn't see anybody say this. There's a little bit of a pilpul here. And I wouldn't paskin on the basis of this, but just a little bit of a possibility to say that goyim are allowed to legislate abortion for among themselves. One of the seven mitzvahs of Bnei Noach is that Bnei Noach are mechuyev to set up courts. The question is, what are these courts supposed to judge? It's called Bnei Noach Mitzuvim Al Adinim. What are these courts supposed to judge? That is a machlokas. According to the Rambam, they're supposed to judge that the Bnei Noach keep the other six mitzvahs which they're commanded. The other six mitzvahs, such as not to steal, not to kill, not to be involved in adultery, not to worship idols, etc. The Ramban holds that, not only are they supposed to judge their own six mitzvahs, they're supposed to judge other laws which emanate from Jewish law, such as all the halachas of Choshen Mishpat. All monetary law have to be adjudicated by courts which the goyim are required to set up. But in that law, all that monetary law which they have to judge, there is another machlokas. What kind of laws are they supposed to enact? Are they supposed to copy the Jewish law? Are they entitled to enact their own law as long as they're just and right laws? In other words, do they have to follow our Shulchan Aruch, or can they create their Shulchan Aruch? It seems that the preponderance of poskim hold that they're allowed to create their own Shulchan Aruch, their own laws, as long as they're legitimate and just laws. They're not cruel, vicious, and evil laws. Now, if that's the case, the question is, under what circumstances can goyim legislate the death penalty? That goyim can put each other to death is a given. There's a famous Gemara in Masechet Shavuos which says that a non-Jewish king is allowed to have up to 1/6 of his country killed in war against another country, and it's not considered genocide. From this we see that goyim have the right to put each other to death, even in terms of war, and by extension they can impose the death penalty among themselves. What about a case of abortion? Now, abortion is not a death penalty, right? Because the fetus obviously didn't commit any crime. But perhaps we can say that the goyim as long as it's considered to be just, and abortion law is not considered to be a cruel and inhumane law, at least nowadays, perhaps they're allowed to legislate among themselves that the mother has the right to determine whether her child should be put to death or not. And I'll explain to you why this should be so. In the one of the approaches to Dina de Malchus Adina is that the government owns its citizens. Now, it's not an ownership like a slavery, but it's a type of a form of ownership, a form of control over all its citizenry. If that's the case, we understand very well why the goyim are allowed to legislate a death penalty, because since the government has control akin to ownership over its citizenry, they're allowed to say which citizen shall live and which shall die, as long as they're not doing something cruel and inhumane. Oh, can the government then come and say, that right to determine who shall live and who shall die, we will give now, take from ourselves, from the courts, and give to the mothers to decide that they have the right to choose whether their children should live and die. Can that right be transferred or not? So I was thinking maybe one could make the case that yes, the government can take that right, which it has, and transfer it. And we find such precedent in history. The Rivage says that the chief rabbinate of France, which was granted the right, I believe, to impose capital punishment by the government of France, can do so. Why? Because since the government of France has the right to impose capital punishment, they can transfer it to the chief rabbinate as well.
But can they legislate against the other shemites if they know
it? Excuse me? Yeah, that would be that. They wouldn't be allowed to. Oh, so that's why. So that's the other. So perhaps one could say that abortion is permissible under those circumstances. But I wanted to say that's what I was about to say. Why is it not true? Why is it not true? I made a nice little construct here. Why is it not true? Because even if they're allowed to legislate, but pashtus, they're not allowed to legislate against other shev mitzvahs b'nei noach. And since one of the explicit shev mitzvahs b'nei noach is not to kill fetuses, therefore they're not allowed to kill. They're not allowed to legislate a heter to abort fetuses. So halacha l'maaseh, somebody asked me last week, are you allowed to counsel a goy to get an abortion? No. Unless it's less than 40 days. If it's less than 40 days, it might be permissible. But beyond 40 days, it would be definitely usher to counsel a goy to get an abortion, and anybody who's involved in the abortion, a goy who's involved in abortion, is committing a capital crime according to the way we perceive Shev Mitzvah B'nei Noach.